Welcome to Vitality Made Simple. The following production is for educational and entertainment purposes only. If you need medical advice, call your doctor. Now, let's go to Vitality Made Simple.
Welcome to Vitality Made Simple. This is the podcast that equips you to feel better, look better, and to enjoy better relationships. I'm your host, Dr. Debbie Osment, and I sincerely thank you for joining me. Now, vitality is all about living with more physical energy, mental energy, and there's a lot of facets to vitality. This particular topic today is the result of me working in my library and having a book surface that I read about 4 years ago. I'm going to talk about Man's Search for Meaning, which is by Dr. Viktor Frankl. And I want to talk about it because I've been seeing lots of patients who are very full of anxiety. They're very troubled. They're worried about the chaotic world. And so I want to respond to that from several different angles. Now, I read this book 4 years ago. In the beginning of 2020, I don't have to tell you what that was about. And it was so interesting to me at the time. Now, Man's Search for Meaning was originally published in 1946 by Dr. Frankl after he was released, just 8 days after he was released from a concentration camp. He originally called it A Psychologist Experiences a Concentration Camp. And the name was first published in German, and then it was later changed to Man's Search for Meaning. I'm going to reread this book. So I want you to know, with a disclaimer, that it's been that long, but I'm going to tell you what I remember about it and tell you how I think it can really help you. Now, Dr. Frankl is among my favorite dead guys, and there's just so many people that learn things the hard way that we can also learn from. He was an Austrian psychiatrist who was born in 1905, and he was a Holocaust survivor. Now, he believed that the search for meaning in life was central in terms of being a human motivational force. He disagreed very bravely with Sigmund Freud, who said that the main thing in life was the search for pleasure. He also disagreed with Dr. Alfred Adler, who said that the search for power was the main thing. And he was already talking about this before he went to the concentration camp. When World War II started, he was actually offered asylum in the United States, but his parents couldn't come with him. And so he really just was grieved over the fact that he would have to leave his parents. He was married, his wife was pregnant. And so one night he went and walked through the rubble of a bombed synagogue. And he's, kicking rocks around and picked up some stones, put them in his pocket, was just praying and asking God to show him what he should do. And when he got home, he's emptying his pockets and he realizes that one of the stones he picked up was a piece of the Ten Commandments, and it was honor thy father and mother. So that's why he made the decision to stay in Austria, even though they were on the brink of war and he was Jewish. So he knew that was a big deal, but he decided to stay with his parents. Well, he got taken to a concentration camp. There his wife got killed. There his parents got killed. And, he just saw just indescribable misery. And that really helped him, simplify his overview of life in so many ways. He's the founder of what's called logotherapy. And that's a school of psychotherapy kind of in spiritual terms. The word logos is a Greek word that means meaning. And he developed a therapeutic approach that is really used today. So in the book, Man's Search for Meaning, he chronicles in the first half his experiences in the concentration camps and talks about how instead of giving up and like assuming that he was doomed to die like everybody else, he decided to use his suffering as an opportunity to help others and himself. He talked so much about, you know, we have little control over the circumstances in which we find ourselves, but we are ultimately free to choose our attitude toward life, and nobody can take that away from us. So he talks a lot about the daily struggles of camp life, he calls it, and how it affected the mental state of his fellow inmates. At this point, he's already a psychiatrist, so this was super important to him. He describes, like, when anything happens in the world, people typically go through three stages. There's shock, and then, you know, that's pretty immediately. And then after, it's like this is going on and on and on, then people develop apathy because they're like getting accustomed to it and thinking, how long is this going to last? And then there can be depersonalization, which is really like bitterness and disillusionment when things just seem so out of their control. And he noticed that even among the people who got out of the concentration camps, they had a lot of this depersonalization even after they were liberated. But he talks about, and this is why it's just so inspiring, that no matter how horrible any psychological distress, physical distress, that we humans are capable of preserving, you know, this vestige of spiritual freedom. And it's really a choice we make. And I 100% agree with it. In the concentration camp, you know, prisoners lived really without a future, without a goal, and that intensified these feelings of lifelessness. But Dr. Frankl looked at these sufferings differently. He concentrated on his inner thought life, on his spiritual life. And he talks a lot about how important that is, and he looks at it as taking responsible action. Here's a great quote. He says, and I quote, "When we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves," end quote. Now, so, you know, this sudden loss of hope and courage can actually have a deadly effect. I've talked a lot about how what we think affects our immune systems, and it's very well proven that the loss of hope can weaken your power of resistance and make a person very vulnerable to illness. An interesting thing that happened way back in the death camps was that the death rate in the week of Christmas and New Year's increased beyond any other time of the year, because they would think, okay, I'm going to get out. And then they didn't. So it, you know, just was horribly hard on everybody mentally. In the first part of Man's Search for Meaning, Dr. Frankl just describes his experience and observations in the camps. The second half is super interesting, and he talks about this concept of logotherapy. Now, again, you know, logos comes from the Greek word that denotes meaning. So his form of therapy is oriented around helping patients find meaning in their lives. He did not believe that he could help his patients solve their life's problems by encouraging them to focus on their past. So, you know, that was pretty different, and that's still pretty different, but I think it's super important. He taught his patients that the most important force in a person's life is the desire to find meaning. And you have to have a will to find meaning. He called it a therapeutic doctrine, and just talked about how we are designed to need this worthwhile goal. Now, Dr. Frankl, the thing that just really jumped out at me when I initially read this book was that he talked about there's really just three things that people need to survive any kind of difficult experience. The first thing is an eternal perspective. The second thing is a purpose and meaning beyond yourself. And the third thing is just a few people that love you unconditionally. Now, this is so simple, an eternal perspective, a purpose beyond yourself, and a few people that love you unconditionally. Notice money is not part of that, those three things. And I think this is so biblical and so essential in our world today. And as I said, I'm just seeing so many people who are very downhearted, very discouraged, especially if they're watching the news. It can just, you know, be pretty anxiety provoking and depressing. So I talk to people about developing an eternal biblical perspective, finding their purpose, their specific gifts that they've been given, their own calling in their life, and just to focus on a few people that they can count on, people that they love unconditionally and that love them unconditionally. Super, super important. Every single one of us has a calling. So if you're experiencing anything in your life that's really troubling, think about these three things. And it was so inspiring to me to hear about Dr. Frankl's experience, because he chose not to get rescued, and he had a specific reason for it. And all around him, he was seeing, you know, lots and lots of misery, but that didn't change his inner thought life. And, you know, nothing can change what we are thinking either. We get to choose. I talk a lot about what fires together wires together. So you have to sort of practice this, your thought life. You have to really focus on an eternal perspective, even in the world of anti-aging. You know, I get so frustrated because I hear people say, oh, I'm going to live to be 150, and well, that's great. So you live to be 150, then what? I mean, I'm all about obviously taking great care of these physical bodies, what I consider to be our relationship vehicles. But we also have to keep in mind that we're all going to die. And for me, an eternal biblical perspective is really part of the motivational force for trying to live this life of vitality, because I want to live out my purpose and meaning. And you have a purpose and meaning also. Every single person has something. Yours is different from mine. And so it's important that we all find that. And that's what makes life so exciting. And then just find a few people that love you unconditionally. You're gonna find that if you look for it, but then not worrying about what all these other people think, not living your life, you know, in a world of mirrors, or in a world of other people's opinion. So I want to leave you with a scripture that I hopefully will give you a hope. And it's Romans 10, 9, and 10. And this is from the New King James Version of the Bible. Now, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You can have a very relaxed eternal perspective when you know that you are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you know that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. I think this really allows people to live out their purpose. It gives meaning beyond ourselves. And you know, the world can be a really scary place, and it has been for millennia. People have faced so much. I think I get very used to like being happy and think that if I'm not happy, I'm unhappy because I'm not happy. No, I don't want to live that way. I want to live with this eternal biblical perspective. I want to pursue purpose beyond myself and just enjoy the people that that are right there with me. I want to emphasize that there's a lot more to Viktor Frankl's theories. I do not pretend to understand the psychological basis of everything, but when I take it just as a guideline and then put it in terms of my biblical beliefs, it just makes so much sense, and it simplifies life, and it has helped a lot of my patients decrease the anxiety in their lives, and I hope it helps you too. So thanks for joining me today. Vitality Made Simple is now in like 122 countries, over 4,000, I don't know, maybe 4,300 cities, a lot, because you're sharing. So please keep sharing. Share this with anybody that it might give some comfort to today. And join me on Instagram, and blessings until next time.